Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just to the east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley, and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. I'll be right back to introduce my guest, Christian Heilman from WTAJ Television, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
You got a minute? I want to tell you a story. Have you heard about Destination Delco? We're great bars and restaurants. We're ethnic neighborhoods. We're the Main Line and the Brandywine. We're different things to different people. We're a little brassy, but oh so classy. We're main streets and back roads, marinas and museums. We're nightlife and, yes, wildlife. We're Destination Delco, a new way to experience Delaware County.
I'm on one of my road trips today. Every so often, we take our microphones of Bedford County Speaks on the road. And today, I went to beautiful, sunny Altoona. And you ask, why would I come such a long, long way from beautiful Bedford County? Well, I came to visit somebody that I met at the Bedford Fall Foliage. I want to introduce my guest. His name is Christian Heilman, and Christian Heilman is a reporter for WTAJ Television here in Altoona. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to do a complete switcheroo and find the reporter who covers Bedford County for the television station and go interview him on the radio? So I hope you don't mind the subterfuge, Christian, but it was really great that you agreed to do this. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you so much for asking me to be on the show. I'm really excited.
You are a young man starting out in the television business, and I understand that you're a Nittany Liner. Is that correct?
I am.
Penn State?
I graduated from Penn State.
How unusual in this area to find someone here from Penn State.
I know. There are only tens of thousands of us.
So where are your roots? Are you from the Altoona area or whereabouts?
I'm originally from a small town north of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. So the Freeport area, actually.
Freeport?
Yes. So okay. It's about 2,000 people. We have one traffic light. Very, very similar to a lot of the areas
right.
around here,
I'll
you
bet.
Know? So I really enjoyed it. I got to go to school at Penn State, and then from north of Pittsburgh, divide by two, and, you know, Altoona.
Did you go to school, high school in Freeport?
I did. I went to Freeport High School.
Are they significant athletic school, or are they just Freeport?
Hey, we're pretty good. Freeport does pretty well.
Were you yourself an athlete in high school?
No. My goodness, no. I could do things, but athletics I let to other
right,
people.
I understand. So when you headed for Penn State, did you have in mind to enter this field, or was it something else, an accident? How did it happen?
Oh, yeah. I've been planning on doing this since I was in fourth grade, actually. It was the fall of fourth grade, and I got one of those Highlights toy catalogs, like
right.
the magazine. And I was looking through, and I saw that there was you could get your own AM radio station, and it was $30. And I asked my mother if she would buy it for me, and she said, no, you're going to have to buy that yourself. At the time, $30 was a lot, but I yeah. you know, plunked down the money and got it. And when I got this little radio station, I said, well, geez, what am I going to put on my radio station? And then I came up with the idea, well, I guess I'll read the news. And so I would go online and I would pull off the scripts, and I would anchor my own news. And so it just kind of grew from there. So then in high school, I started being in my school's television productions program. And, I knew where I was going to
so
go.
So there's still a little baby John Roberts running around. Freeport.
Hey, I knew what I wanted to do. I never okay. knew. I feel terrible for people who don't know what they want to do, because I've just known for so many years. And so now that I get to do it, I mean, I am one lucky person.
Well, you know, you really hit upon a really important point that people really need to do what they love to do. And I think that's one of the reasons I got in the broadcasting business, is because, like you, I just couldn't imagine me doing anything else. I mean, I was thinking, well, it might be kind of fun to work at IBM as a computer software engineer, or it might be fun to go and be a a school teacher professor, although I hated school, so that wasn't going to work. And yeah, so it's really great you did this. So that's good. So you were very directed from the get-go. I know that Penn State has a very good journalistic and RTF program. So did you go through that?
Fantastic. Right. Broadcast journalism program. I actually double majored in the business school as well, management information system. So it's kind of the intersection of IT and business. I figured if I was going to go for 4 years, might as well get 2 degrees for the price of one.
Okay, I want to step back a little bit. I'm old and you're young, so I want to give a little perspective to this, to what Christian is now doing. I just got a very good tour, by the way, through WTAJ-TV, and I'd like to talk about that in a little while. But what I noticed about the television station, at least from my early memories of working in radio stations that were attached to TV stations, is the facilities now are much, much smaller. Everything is IT. Everything's computers. No more of those great, big, gigantic reel-to-reel tape machines with 2-inch tape on or 1-inch tape. And
thank
all that
goodness.
Stuff. And, yeah, so things are a lot easier and faster. So I noticed that when you did the story about fall foliage, you were able to record that, get like a 10 different segments, at least from the ones you did for about our ham radio club, and then went back and had it on the air that night. And that would have really been almost impossible in the film and TV tape days.
Well, one of those, the thing about technology that makes it so great is that, you know, usually before, I think you'd only be able to do one story, and that would be, you know, a huge task in and of itself. That day, I ended up going down to the Everett Senior Center and did a whole other story that aired. So the story that we did aired at 5:30, and then the other story aired at 6. I mean,
gotcha.
Nice thing is technology can make it at least a whole lot faster and a whole lot easier for one person to do it. A lot of the times, I'm going out as a one-man band, so that means I shoot, write, and edit everything that I do. So
okay, well, that's interesting, because I wanted to kind of come back to the TV station itself. Do you know much about the television station's history or anything like that?
I don't know as much about the history of WTAJ. I know we've been around for quite some time, but...
Well, I wonder, because it's clearly an older building. I think this building's probably going to go on a lot of change, so it's probably lived through a long time of being a TV station in Altoona. This is a pretty sizable media market. You have a number of TV stations here, so you're clearly one of the players. Now, this station is a CBS affiliate, correct?
That is correct.
So this means you carry all the CBS programming, news and otherwise?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when does the local news, how do you integrate that into the national news? Like, which comes first, the local, the national? How's it work?
Well, during the week, we'll do our WTHA news this morning first from 5 to 7 a.m., and then we'll go over for national, which is CBS This Morning. Great morning program. Mm-hmm. I love it. And then we'll do occasional cut-ins. Just about every half hour, we'll do a couple headlines for folks in the middle of that show. And then we'll have, obviously, our new newscast and then our early evening shows from 5 until 6:30. We also have our lifestyle show, Central Pennsylvania Live, at 4 o'clock, where we do news, a small news cut in there as well. And then CBS Evening News airs that evening at 6:30 after our local news is over. And then we'll have our 11 o'clock news before everyone goes to bed.
So this is running like this all day, every day, at least during the week. And we have all of you running around gathering news. I was struck also by the fact that this television station has a very serious local news effort. I mean, you said there's 8 or 9 or 10 of you doing this, which to me, for a market this size, is an enormous local news effort. I mean, I've been in a lot of major markets that don't have news departments this large. So
absolutely,
this is really quite a tribute. Is this station locally owned?
This station is owned by a larger company. It's called Nexstar Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. So they own a lot of television stations all across the country. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we like to take pride in is being in the communities and going down and seeing. And we have so many reporters. We have such a large area. We cover 10 counties. So on any given day, for me, I could be in Blair County. I could be in Huntington County, Cambria County. I like going down to Bedford County. That's where you'll find me most days. And I love going down and meeting people. I always joke that I get to take field trips every day. It's a great part of the job, because no 2 days are the same.
And just remember, the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. What other stuff is played on the TV station? You've got the CBS product you get, I guess. You run the midday shows and so forth. Is there anything else local you do? You mentioned something called Central Pennsylvania Live. What is that?
Yeah, that's our 4 o'clock. It's our lifestyle show. Dawn Pelles hosts that. She's fantastic. And we just kind of talk with a lot of people from Central Pennsylvania. So if there are events going on or festivals or musical guests, we do a lot of. I think Dennis Tice was on a few weeks ago. I believe he's in a quartet, and he was one of the musical guests. So we just invite people from all over the area to talk right. about what's going on, so people know it's really a fun show for everyone to come and watch.
You had mentioned earlier that you got a lot of these small towns in all these 10 counties, and so there's a lot of stories about all those towns and all those counties. And what I like about the effort your TV station is making is you don't consider a little town a small story. It's a big story.
Oh, no.
Every little town has a big story. So, like last night or yesterday, we covered a little story for the Historical Society of Dutch Corner is going to dedicate a school building that they're restoring. And it's 1810 it was built. That's pretty early for a standing building. So the members of the Historical Society in this – I said, well, who's the public affairs person? Who should I talk to? And they pointed to this old lady. And I'm old, and she was older than me, so I figured she's an old lady. And she did a great job. And it was a big story. Dutch Corner is about the size of the conference room in right now. But it was a great story because here is this group of volunteers doing this effort for this school. And it's probably the kind of thing you like to cover at the TV station.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. When you see people, the one thing that I really like about particularly everyone in Bedford County is that everyone is so kind, so welcoming, and so genuine. You know, you really get to – I love meeting different people, and I think the people in Bedford County are some of the nicest in our whole viewing area. I'm going to go out and say that because everyone has just been so welcoming. Every time I go down there and talk with people about whatever story it is, you know, no matter how big or small it might feel to them, we always try to make it the big story on WTAJ.
Our guest is Christian Heilman from WTAJ Television in Altoona. We're in Altoona today talking to Christian. He was very gracious to invite me here and get a tour of this magnificent facility. And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about all the apparatus I saw this morning. It was quite extraordinary, and I've forgotten how large television stations are. Christian, I remember when I got started in radio, there was a guy that we used to work with who said the definition of television is radio times 10. In other words, everything is 10 times as big, 10 times expensive, and all of that. The idea that he had to describe it was actually pretty accurate. Anyway, we'll get all of this back to you when we come back when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. So often, when you want to buy a car or truck, you're told to make sure you get a good deal. So what is a good deal? Is it just the price of the vehicle, or is it something else? At Thomas Chevrolet, we think that a good deal means everything that's important to us. Things like our multi-generational reputation for honesty and integrity, or the free inspection service you get on your purchase after you roll out of here, or the fact that your car or truck has been checked thoroughly by our factory-trained service department to make sure it's safe. Or that we are a family-owned dealership that feels a responsibility to our customers. That's what a good deal means to us. How about you? The next time you need a car or truck, visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru first. We'll show you what a good deal really is.
Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
I'm having fun on my road trip. I'm up here in Altoona. I am in this great, big, gigantic television station with 100 million blinking lights. For simple radio people like me, this is all very impressive. I'm not used to seeing all this apparatus, so it's a lot of fun here talking with Christian Heilman. And we want to welcome you back to Bedford County Speaks. And don't forget, Bedford County Speaks is brought to you by the Thomas Chevrolet organization in Bedford. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru is right on 220, and if you need a car, that's definitely the place to go. And also by Destination Delco. So if you'd like to learn more about Destination Delco, it is not hard. You just say DestinationDelco.com and you learn all about it. Our guest today is Christian Heilman, and Christian is with WTAJ-TV here in Altoona, and they cover all the news that's fit to show on TV. I want to talk to you a bit about the hard news. It's fun to talk about 1810 churches and schools coming back, and it's great to cover fall foliage festivals, but every day there's some news, serious news operation going on. What's hot in the news today on television today? Is it always wrecks and fires and politicians being jailed, or is there something else going on?
It depends on the day. If it's something like yesterday, if it's something like what we covered on Tuesday, there it was the bank robbery in Pleasantville. They were actually able to catch them relatively quickly, thank goodness. Sometimes it's issue based. We are talking a whole lot more about the state budget and state legislature than I ever thought we would back here in July. So it really depends on the day. The day is really fluid. You can have a plan at 9:30, but then come noon, that can all change, and you can have your assignment shift because something just happened that you've got to run out to.
Do TV stations still have assignment editors?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We have a fantastic assignment editor, Jody. He keeps track of everything that's going on.
So these are the guys who kind of steer the ship. They say, okay, something just broke in Pleasantville. There's an armed robbery in progress. Let's get someone down there. Or Governor Wolf just became a Republican or something.
that would be breaking news.
Yeah. So, you know, is that the kind of thing they do? So you might be actually in the middle of a story.
Oh,
it's not so important. And maybe you drop what you're doing and go to the big one. Is that what?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah, of course. That happens. And you could be right in the middle of it. You could be in the middle of an interview and you get a phone call and you see if Jody's calling. Okay, well, we've got to take this
because
there could be something else that we've got to get dispatched to.
You were nominated for an Emmy.
Mid-Atlantic Emmy.
So what was that about?
That was a story that I did in Bedford County. In Hopewell, Little Linda's General store, there was someone who tried to rob the store. And instead of letting the guy get away with the cash register, it was a family-owned business. They've owned it, built it from the ground up 25 years ago. And instead of letting him get away with the cash register and all the money, dad who owned the store hit him with a step stool, knocked him down, and then the person who was behind the register came out and sat on him until state police arrived. And there were 7 PennDOT workers working across the street. They came in, and they helped duct tape him. So there was grainy surveillance video when we came and did this story. And so you were looking at it, and you just saw this someone sitting on top of someone, and then a little bit later there were, you know, 7 people in, you know, PennDOT vests standing by there, and then the state police trooper comes in and just kind of looking at them. It was, you know, it was a fantastic story. You know, glad they, you know, didn't let him get away, and he didn't get away. So,
well, as you describe this, of course, in radio we always say the pictures are better, but as you describe this, I'm imagining this guy on the ground, underneath someone probably is kind of heavy, and he's duct taped. So is this a story made for television or what?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. And I mean, and they had surveillance video, too, which is fantastic. I mean, I think it was about 1 frame a second. So you kind of saw it in slow motion. You know, you saw him approach and then go down. And it was quite an interesting story. And boy, it's a great example of...
And turning to the political side, we have this this budget mess in Harrisburg. What do you see going on in your immediate coverage area as far as these people being affected? Are there boroughs and townships running out of money, school districts? What's happening there? Are these things you're covering?
Oh, of course. I never thought I would do so many stories about the state budget, but the effects are so far-reaching. We're talking affects school districts because a lot of them get a decent amount of funding from the state. And in particular, I covered a story last week with Head Start programs that are really going to be affected and could shut down past Thanksgiving. A lot of these places have already taken out emergency loans to get to this point because they thought, oh, we'll get to this point. You know, we'll definitely have a state budget by now. And a lot of them are on the second wave of loans. And those are going to start running out soon, and that's when people are really going to have to start considering, well, are we going to shut down our pre-K programs? Are we going to shut down our domestic violence shelter program? Because for a lot of these organizations, their budgets aren't extravagant. They're not throwing money away by any stretch of the imagination. They're cash strapped as it is. But when you keep taking out these loans, you have to pay for all that interest, and someone has to pay for it. And from what I understand right now, the state isn't going to reimburse counties or organizations for that interest. So that's thousands of dollars people have to pay in interest that, who knows?
Well, you know, this is interesting you mentioned this because I thought wouldn't it be an interesting story to go talk to the banks? The banks are making out on this thing pretty well, I would guess. I mean, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you could really get kind of nuts about, you know, how they put it all together because the banker is going to make more money, or pull a Bernie Sanders or something. I don't know. It is interesting, isn't it, how many news stories blossom out of just one event like this.
Right. And it's the effects are starting to become drastic. At first, you know, July 1st comes and there's no budget. You'll say, oh, okay, well, in a few weeks, it'll be fine. We'll just keep watching it. But now we're up to day 100 and I can't even keep track. I think
it's the longest ever.
It is the longest ever. Yeah. The last record was in 2009 when Ed Rendell was governor, and I believe that was 101 days.
Well, what other organizations have you done stories on that have been affected by this? Have the boroughs and townships been affected as well?
A lot of the counties are affected. The boroughs and townships, I think, are relatively okay in comparison to counties. Counties get a lot of their funding through the state. The human service organizations are greatly affected, like the Center for Community Action.
So the cash really has stopped. I mean, it's not like we have had a situation where they say it's going to stop. It actually has stopped. So they do literally have to make it up themselves.
A lot of them, yes, they have had to make it up. And there are certain ways where some very small funds have been able to trickle through, depending on if it's from the federal government and it's funneled a certain way. Because a lot of, again, from what I understand, a lot of the money from the federal government that's supposed to go to some of these organizations are getting held up in Harrisburg because they haven't passed a budget. Mm-hmm. So Harrisburg is this huge bank account right now with all this money that they're not sending out to these organizations that need it. The day that I talked with you, went out to the senior center in Everett, the agency on aging for a couple counties in our area. They've had to lay off almost a fifth of their staff, or furlough a fifth of their staff, just because of what happened.
And also what I'm hearing from you is a lot of this stuff that is funded by the state seem to be social programs, pre-K, people with disabilities, not the core running of the schools, which are covered generally by property taxes, but...
It depends, because some schools are greatly affected depending on if their property tax base, how strong that is. So if you have a strong property tax base, it doesn't affect you as much, but if you're in... A lower income area.
Right.
You get a lot more assistance from the state. So, unfortunately, the more lower income areas are harder hit by the state not sending out that money.
So, do you feel that in this case, a television station like WTAJ has a real responsibility to report this kind of thing?
Of course. Yeah. It's starting to seriously affect people who are here. And at the end of the day, what we do as reporters is we tell stories about people and how things are affecting people. And this has gotten to the point where it's affecting so many people all over our area in ways that we probably couldn't imagine 2 or 3 months ago. And so I do think it's our responsibility to go out and, when things like this are happening, go talk with the people who are affected.
I often make speeches at places like Rotary Clubs, and I talk about the hated media, and yet that's what people really want, is they'll come to the hated media to find out what's going on, because no one else will tell them. I mean, if we depend on the elected officials, Democrat or Republican, independent, communist, whatever they are, they won't tell us because they don't want to tell us that. So it's your job, isn't it, to tell them that, regardless of what it says and what happens.
We report, we're paid to ask questions and figure out what's going on and talk to people who are affected. And so that's what we're going to do.
What about crime? Is crime appear a lot on your TV station? Is that a big item?
When it happens, it does. I think, thankfully, and particularly in Bedford County, I think it's a relatively calm place. Yeah. There isn't too much crime. There isn't too much random crime by any stretch of the imagination. But when it happens, yes, we do cover it. Whether it's an armed robbery or whether it's...
Well, I think it seems to me, and I've only been a resident of Bedford for a couple of years, but it seems to me that if I'm watching television, watching your station in Bedford, I'm also interested to see what the crime waves are like around Bedford as well, because... if there's a crime wave going on in Johnstown or something, I want to know about that. It's 30 miles away. Bedford might be quiet because there's not too many people living there. It's a rural area, and you don't have inner city crime here. You're only getting inner cities, so to have inner city crime, but it's something that your television station again has responsibility to report, I assume.
Yeah, and particularly, you know, if we start seeing trends, that's really important for us to take a look at. You know, if it's the fourth kind of robbery like this in the last 2 weeks, you know, that's something we have to start asking questions about, because talking about the individual events are important, but then linking them all together and talking about trends are even more helpful.
I noticed in your parking lot you have a bunch of satellite trucks, at least one I saw, one big uplink truck. What occasion would you have? Have you ever fed the network anything?
We have. I know when during 9/11 we used our satellite truck to go down to the Shanksville area. Mm-hmm. We've used that satellite truck to go to Pittsburgh for, I believe, governor debates back when Corbett and Wolf were running against each other. But now you were talking about technology changing. We call them live backpacks. So it's a backpack that you can wear on your back, and it's as good as a live truck. As long as you have decent cell phone reception, you can just press a button, it boots up a computer, and it'll use cell phone data to send back high-definition video and audio back here to Altoona. I mean, we also have a microwave truck that we could put the mast up and send it that way, but live backpacks are just changing how we do things. I mean, it's so easy to just say, oh, take the backpack and a laptop and you can edit on the road. I mean, we can go most places and be live from there. It's,
you know, it's so interesting to hear you talk about this, because many years ago when I was involved in Philadelphia radio, I knew a fellow named Ed Kushner, who coincidentally worked for the CBS affiliate in Philadelphia, WCAU-TV. And he was credited for inventing electronic news gathering in the United States. And he did it in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. And he was the first one to come up with these multiple repeaters all over the inside of the city, so you could get a small truck, usually a small van, to shoot a signal up to a building, and it would return the signal back to the station. And this was revolutionary, because back then they would make things on film and then drive it back. So now you're telling me you can do it with a backpack. In probably a few years, it'll be a chip in your ear or something.
So, that keeps getting smaller. Who knows how small it'll go?
Right, yeah. And what's that thing in the computer technology? It can only get so small. Is that?
Oh, wait, I think it's Moore's-like.
Moore's everything like, yeah, gets,
thing. Yeah.
Who knows? We may not need a TV station anymore at all. We'll just talk to you.
Our glasses will just live stream all the time. I think that's what it's going to be eventually.
But in the meantime, you get to watch WTAJ television on Channel 10. Do you have other television stations here, or is it just this one?
It is just this one. Nexstar just owns this television station in the market.
So you are the CBS News affiliate for, which is unusual, and of course you're high definition. So is the high definition channel actually on Channel 10, or is it somewhere else?
Yes, it is 10.1, when you tune it in.
Because as you remember, that when they went to the high def, they changed all the channels around. So you're one of the ones that stayed on your actual channel.
I believe so.
Interesting. Okay. Well, have we missed anything? What have we forgotten here? Anything at all?
My goodness. Let's see. If anyone has a story, I love talking with everyone and getting to know everyone's story. If any of your listeners think they have something.
There you have an invitation from Christian right here. If you have a story for his television station, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Boy, you know what? I think email would be great. You can either go on our website, and then you can find my email by going to our station
webpage. Is there a hotline you call or anything like that, or info hotline? Or if you don't, you guys got to get one. You got to talk to the promotion department. This is a disgrace. You need a hotline.
Can I throw my email out there? We'll do that.
I'll
so
do
it's
that. Okay.
It's C and then my last name, Heilman, H-E-I-L-M-A-N, at WTAJTV.com. So if there's something you think we should be talking about, by all means, send me an email. I'd love to talk about it.
And I must suggest to you that getting on the television station is not just for the purpose of promoting your outfit. It's if you have a real story. It can be an interesting story. I mean, I know you've covered things for the Historical Society in Bedford. I know you've obviously done the Fall Foliage thing for a number of years. But there's this cool stuff going on in Everett that you did and things like that. And I think that the people would be very appreciative if they knew that you could do this. So all you have to do is get a hold of Christian at cheilman@wtajtv.com.
You got it.
All right, that's good. You might think I remembered that. It's good. Well, thank you very much. You've been an excellent guest. I want to thank you very much, and I wish you all the best in your career. And I hope the next time we talk to you, you're like the anchor on CBS or something. Well, I'll come to New York and interview you there. How'd that
be? Sounds good. Thanks so much, Lloyd.
All right. Our guest has been Christian Heilman from the WTAJ Newsroom. And we're in Altoona at their 5-Beta station. So I want to thank you very much for doing it. And Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by DestinationDelco.com and by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. If you'd like to hear today's program again, just visit our website at BedfordCountySpeaks.com. I look forward to joining you next time right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.